booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. Hopefully you had a nice weekend and are enjoying an hour more sleep. I'm Frank Morano. Welcome to the Early News. Hey, Juliet.
Hey, you know, you are so quick. I love the way you deal with some of those callers in that last segment. You're so funny. You're very quick.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're a real wit.
You're pretty quick-witted yourself, Juliet. It could be why we get along so well.
It's true. It's true. Okay, so coming up, we've got the top airports in the U.S. list. Hint, ours are not among them. Plus, they headed down to sunny Cancun, Mexico, Frank, for a heavenly getaway that ended up turning hellish. I'm going to tell you about those stories, but first, here are the big stories we're going to be following today.
This is the Top 5 at 5.
The 2021 New York City Marathon is in the books. A beautiful fall day greeted 30,000 participants. It's a bit of a smaller turnout this year due to COVID restrictions, but hey, it happened. We're happy about that. Winning the men's race was Albert Courier of Kenya. He did it 2 years after coming in second. And for the women, it was Perez Jepchirchir, also of Kenya. She is the first woman to win a major marathon in the fall after winning an Olympic gold medal. And I just had to add this craziness. American long distance Olympian bronze medalist Molly Seidel had broken ribs, but she still ran this marathon. And it's only her fourth marathon overall. So congratulations to everybody. And also Vinny Cerrito, my good friend. He ran it again.
A popular Texas music festival cut short over the weekend after a stampede to the stage by fans that left 8 fans dead and dozens more injured. Investigators now trying to figure out what caused the riot at Houston's Astroworld Festival. Meantime, critics are coming down hard on the festival's headliner, rapper Travis Scott. The 29-year-old has been in trouble before, stemming from incidents at performances. He was charged with reckless and disorderly conduct twice. In fact, he pled guilty to a misdemeanor 6 years ago after calling for fans to storm the stage at Lollapalooza. If you couldn't make that out, he said, "All my real ragers jump the barricade right now." He pled guilty to another misdemeanor for a similar situation in Arkansas in 2017. Victims have already filed suit against him, as well as co-headliner hip-hop superstar Drake.
We're finding out a bit more about the victims of this weekend's deadly concert. Among those killed, a 16-year-old high school junior, beautiful girl, aspiring dancer, just awful, and also a 14-year-old high school freshman. He'd gone to the show to celebrate his best friend's birthday. Meantime, a nurse who was at the concert says the situation was such a disaster. She said medics were unprepared and really unqualified, some giving CPR unnecessarily. We're going to have more on the tragedy, including reaction from the man the victims all came to see, rapper Travis Scott, coming up at 5:20.
The White House has until the end of the day to respond to a recent court decision that effectively blocked President Biden's controversial vaccine mandate. The rule requires businesses with 100 or more employees to make sure all workers are vaccinated by January 4th. 3 judges from the U.S. 5th District Court of Appeals blocked the mandate after 5 states issued a joint petition against the order and another 11 states filed lawsuits last week. White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain says he's not worried.
I'm quite confident that when this finally gets fully adjudicated, not just a temporary order,
right,
the validity of this requirement will be upheld.
And New Yorkers blasting their local reps for voting against that $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill. It did pass, of course. U.S. Rep. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, and Jamal Bowman getting slammed on social media for refusing to support the legislation that would bring and that will bring more than $100 billion just to New York City for much needed repairs to the state's crumbling, New York rather, to the state's crumbling infrastructure. The two joined other squad members, so-called squad members, Ilhan Omar of Minnesota, Rashida Tlaib of Michigan, Ayanna Pressley of Massachusetts, and Cori Bush of Missouri in voting no.
I just did not feel like I had the assurances in that moment to vote to increase U.S. climate emissions for an IOU. My main concern is that we just locked in the United States to increase its climate emissions.
And those are your top 5 at 5 coming up. Let's see. WABC News Time is 5:05. Wait till you hear what happened when a Bronx apartment building was evacuated because of a fire. And is former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's sex assault case crumbling? Those stories are coming up, but first, here are some of the other items making news this morning.
What's trending?
What's trending? We're going to start around the nation in our own backyard. In fact, congratulations, Newark Liberty Airport. You are once again at the top of the list of the worst airports in the country, at least when it comes to delays and cancellations, which is kind of a big deal. I don't know, when you're traveling. Data shows roughly 25%, one out of every four flights coming into EWR shows up late or is just flat out canceled. But don't gloat, New York-based airports. Sadly, all three of our major tri-state area airports came in at the bottom of the barrel. LaGuardia finishing second worst, 24% of flights arriving late or canceled. JFK tied for 10th worst with 19% delayed or canceled. And everything is okay at New York's Ivy Leagues. Cornell, Columbia, and Brown in Rhode Island all shutting down Sunday after phoned-in bomb threats. Police say the threats were not credible.
All right, coming up on traffic and transit on the sevens, we're going to hear from Joe Nolan. Joe, how was your weekend?
Oh, it was great. It was long. Oh, my goodness.
Right. Yeah, that extra hour makes a difference, huh?
Yeah, well, I was off on Friday, too, so we
oh,
went
Oh, that's
to,
right. Yeah, yeah. yeah. Brandy Scott, you did a great job in your absence.
She's great. Yeah,
we could call you Wally Pip.
She's really good. No, Brandy's really good. But, I went down on Friday night, and an interesting thing happened on Friday night. The restaurant we were in, five different people came up to me and said, "Hey, I listen to you in the morning on WABC."
Yay!
Yep.
And did you get their names?
No, I didn't get any.
Yeah, he's a big star.
Do you know who he is?
Can't be getting.
I'm sorry.
They bought me beer and it was done. You know.
Nice. Well, thank you. If I ever run into those same people, hopefully they'll extend the same courtesy.
Well, as we get outside, really nothing for you to worry about. At least not yet. Of course, the Verrazano Bridge, that lower level on the Verrazano Bridge, is shut down. And again, that for road work, we have no problems at all. Inbound LIE from pretty much the middle of Nassau County all the way in through Queens Boulevard. Just a tiny bit slow right at Queens Boulevard. Coming up through Lower Brooklyn, same kind of thing. Just a little slow as you come away from 65th Street, but all the way on up to the Brooklyn Bridge. Now, Mass Transit running right on or close to schedule. And alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations today are in effect. And this report is a service of Empire Blue Cross Blue Shield. Empire Blue Cross Blue Shield, heart of America, helping schools across the country increase their access to healthy food. Learn more, empireblue.com/NYLiberty. I'm Joe Nolan, traffic on the 7th, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you, Joseph. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Today is going to be just like perfection. 64 degrees will be the high. We're going to have a lot of sun, very light winds. Tonight, we're going to have clear skies and a low of 47. And tomorrow, another beautiful day. We're actually going to get up to 66 degrees and lots of sun. It's going to be beautiful the next 2 days. So if you have anything to do, I would suggest trying to plan the outdoor activities for today and tomorrow. Once we get into Wednesday, I mean, it's still okay. We're at 64 degrees with a mix of clouds and sun. Thursday, we're dropping just a bit down to 60 degrees with mostly cloudy skies. And by Friday, we could see some rain coming in, and we may have some rain over the weekend. But, you know, things change in the next few days. They're likely to change. Currently, the temperature right now in New York City is a chilly 49 degrees. Frank?
Well, thank you, Juliet. A Bronx father is clinging to life after being found unconscious in fire that killed his young son. It happened Friday night in the Mitchell houses on East 135th Street. The two were found unconscious in a hallway on the 19th floor. The two were rushed to a local hospital. 6-year-old Aiden Hayward was pronounced dead of smoke inhalation. And, appallingly, police say while the building was being evacuated, burglars went around the building and stole thousands in valuables, including electronics and jewelry. Also in the Bronx, a high school teacher charged with sex crimes, Alexander Guzman, who teaches at the Bronx School for Law, Government, and Justice, reportedly sent racy images to three female students, all teens. The 26-year-old is accused of making inappropriate comments to the girls, allegedly telling them they're pretty and have nice bodies. One 16-year-old student claims Guzman went even further, forcibly kissing her and putting his hand in her pants. He's now facing a myriad of charges, including aggravated harassment. And another poll is showing President Biden's approval rating is at a new low. This one is from USA Today and Suffolk University, putting his number at 38% out of 1,000 people surveyed. Nearly half, feel the president has done worse than they expected. The poll was taken last week before the House passed his infrastructure bill on Friday, and a new report revealed the nation added 531,000 jobs last month. So we'll see what this poll portends for President Biden next month. And the misdemeanor sexual assault case against former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo may be defective. That's the word from Albany officials who sent a letter to the judge in the case suggesting the complaint was a rush job and didn't include a sworn statement by the victim. ABC News, no affiliation with this radio station, reporting that the Albany County DA sent a letter to the judge denouncing Sheriff Craig Apple for, quote, unilaterally and inexplicably filing the complaint without Apple's knowledge, without the knowledge of the DA's office, and while the DA was still in the middle of his own investigation. The judge agreed and has delayed Cuomo's arraignment from November 17th to January 7th. Potentially even more disconcerting is that in the criminal complaint itself, they may have omitted testimony from the purported victim in this case, Brittany Commisso, that might include exculpatory evidence for Andrew Cuomo. And the governor's daughter, former governor's daughter, Michaela Kennedy Cuomo, is sticking by her dad. The 24-year-old shared an article on social media that suggested the sexual harassment allegations against the former governor are part of a, quote, manufactured Me Too-style PR offensive. Cuomo left office early, resigning after several women accused him of sexual assault. And an iconic anti-gun activist has died of an apparent suicide. Mark Glaze reportedly killed himself while in custody at Lackawanna County Prison in Pennsylvania. He was arrested for fleeing the scene of an accident involving death or personal injury back in September. The Wall Street Journal once called him the face of the gun movement. Glaze was 51 years old. And days after stepping down as head of Barclays, following an investigation into his relationship with disgraced financier, the late Jeffrey Epstein, the alleged pedophile reportedly lobbied Barclays in favor of Stolle becoming CEO, and there were questions over whether their relationship was closer than Mr. Stolle admitted. And over the weekend, more trouble for the former Barclays boss. The U.S. Virgin Islands served Barclays in the U.K. and Stolle himself with a court order to hand over documents linked to Epstein. More specifically, the subpoena demands Stolle come up with any documents, quote, related to massages offered or given to him at Epstein's home. The 65-year-old insists he knew nothing about Epstein's crimes. And the next story is going to give you parents out there some chills. A 16-year-old from North Carolina is safe this morning after she used a secret hand signal to tell strangers that she was in trouble. It all started when 61-year-old James Brick allegedly kidnapped the teen on Tuesday of last week, the two driving through several states until finally, 2 days later, police caught up with them. Turns out the teen used a hand signal she saw on TikTok that's supposed to indicate domestic abuse. Another driver saw the gesture and called 911. Basically, you just connect your thumb to the palm of the same hand, then fold your other four fingers down over it. Thank goodness, and that's a great thing for children and really anybody to know. Keep that in mind for the future. And new COVID rules begin Monday for the nation's second largest city. Everyone in Los Angeles must now show proof of vaccination or a negative test to eat at restaurants. Same thing goes for movie theaters, malls, gyms, concerts, museums, spas, and salons. This expands on the country's new mandate at bars. The county's new mandate, at bars, clubs, breweries, and wineries. San Francisco and New York have already been requiring proof for indoor dining since August. So we'll see how the people of L.A. react compared to the people of our fair city. Well, coming up on 5:15, let's get a look at sports. A big sports weekend. And here to tell you all about it is Matt Sapienza.
Thanks, Frank, and good morning, everybody. After testing positive for COVID-19 on Wednesday, Giants safety Xavier McKinney spent most of the week not knowing whether he was going to play against the Las Vegas Raiders. McKinney is not vaccinated, and a positive test would have put him in the Aaron Rodgers category and sidelined him for a while. And thanks goodness for false positives. McKinney returned an interception 41 yards for a touchdown early in the second half and picked off another errant throw by Derek Carr late as the G-men added to the Raiders' post-bye woes with a 23-16 victory over Las Vegas last night. Also, NBA action. Ricky Rubio scored a career-high 37 to help the Cleveland Cavaliers outlast the Knicks 126-109. Cleveland has won four in a row to improve to 7-4. Evan Mobley added 26 points, Jarrett Allen had 18, and Darius Garland had 16. And in Brooklyn, on the same league, Kevin Durant had 31 points. James Harden scored 16 of his 28 points in the fourth quarter, and the Nets won their fifth straight game, beating the Toronto Raptors 116-103. And that is your sports at 15 and 45. I'm Matt Sapienza, and that's WABC Sports.
Well, we'll get to traffic and transit on the sevens in just a minute, but it looks like voters are calling on the world's richest man to sell 10% of his stake in Tesla. CEO Elon Musk launched a Twitter poll on Saturday, and more than 3.5 million people weighed in. Almost 60% of them are in favor of him selling nearly $21 billion worth of stock in order to pay a billionaire's tax proposed by Democrats. After the poll closed, Musk said he was prepared to accept either outcome. Very Democratic of him, with a small D. 517, Joe Nolan, something tells me you would not take to Twitter to ask people how to spend your fortune.
Not at all. Well, pretty good, actually, really, to be honest with you. Not that much out there. Inbound LIE, northern, southern states, as I said before, still moving very well right through NASA, right into the city, and then at Queens Boulevard, again, just a little slow. Did notice, though, this last time around, as you start to head inbound at the Holland Tunnel, it's building up a little early here as you come inbound on the Turnpike extension particularly. So if you're coming in, it's not jammed up or anything, but it is definitely slower than it usually would be. Now, mass transit-wise, everybody on or close to schedule. Again, don't forget, we do have some problems, though, on the subways, the D, the F, the N, and the Q, and alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations. Once again today, that is in effect. So there you go. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you, sir. We have a beautiful day in store for us. Lots of sun, a high of 64. Tonight, we're looking at clear skies and a low of 47. Tomorrow, 66, and a big blob of sun, as I see on my forecast. Wednesday, things start to get a little cloudier, although we do stick around the mid-60s. And Thursday, we drop into the low 60s. We may have some rain come in on Friday. Currently, the temperature in New York City is 49 degrees. Frank?
Well, yeah, I was waiting for my my stock market ticker. I will not read the stocks without my sound.
No, all right. You need the stock sound.
That's right. Wall Street kicks off a fresh trading week with this morning's opening bell after wrapping up last week with fresh records. All three major averages rallied to record levels on Friday after a stronger-than-expected jobs report and a major development from Pfizer. The drug maker says its COVID-19 pill reduces the risk of hospitalization and death by nearly 90% in high-risk people. So it's certainly a game-changer. So at the closing bell, the Dow Jones gained 203 points, the S&P 500 rose 17 points, and the NASDAQ added 31 points. The October Producer Price Index leads off the week's economic reports today, and the inflation rate for October is this week's headline story for the week. That's due on Wednesday, followed by the weekly report on first-time unemployment claims. We'll see how that looked. Now, Juliet also pays a lot of attention to travel, and yes, so is the financial industry these days, because the international travel ban is over. Airlines are expecting a huge surge today as the U.S. reopens to visitors with a COVID vaccine. Delta alone has already seen a 450% increase in bookings over the last 6 months. The borders have been closed for nearly 20 months from several countries, including Brazil, China, India, and the UK, along with much of Europe. Passengers must show proof of vaccination and submit a negative test before flying. As for driving, only those vaccinated can enter from Canada and Mexico. Juliet?
Thank you very much. We have lots more to get to. It is 519 right now. Superstar rapper Travis Scott under fire, under serious fire by many today after continuing on with his performance at this weekend's doomed Astroworld Festival, despite seeing ambulances and medical personnel frantically trying to help concert goers who were clearly injured. Now, maybe he didn't realize that they were crushed and being suffocated during a mass stampede, but a lot of people who were there said that they were screaming at him and at officials and at the crew to stop the show. Witnesses say Scott was just yards away from at least one tragic scene where EMTs and police were giving CPR to an injured fan. You could miss it. Fans nearby were literally chanting at Scott and festival officials to stop the performance.
Stop the show! Stop the show! Stop the show! Stop the show!
Yeah.
Video
shows Scott looking over in the direction of the drama, but still going on with the show for at least 30 minutes. Later at home, he posted somewhat of an apology on social media saying he's devastated.
I could just never imagine the severity of the situation. I'm honestly just devastated.
Scott, by the way, is dating makeup mogul Kylie Kardashian. Actually, Kylie Jenner. She's part of the Kardashian clan. The two are expecting a second child soon. Their daughter, Stormy, is 3 years old. And a heartbreaking story out of the tragedy. The Houston Medical Examiner had released a photo of a victim who died during the stampede. He was in his 20s. He's 6 foot two, nearly 500 pounds. No one had come forward to identify him, but they have identified him today. So if you had seen that, just know that somebody has come forward and identified him. And we're going to have more on this developing story coming up at the bottom of the hour. Also, Frank, the 2021 New York City Marathon, as you know, is in the books. There were a lot of celebs hitting the streets this year. Some of the members of the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team, including Amy Wappa, Giant superstar Tiki Barber, two of the guys from the British band Mumford & Sons, who apparently ran the race for the first time, Will Reeve from GMA, and Sunday Today host Willie Geist also ran. You had some contestants from The Bachelorette and The Bachelor, including Tyler Cameron. I don't know any of these people because I don't watch the show. Supermodel Christy Turlington, who I went to sixth grade with, by the way.
Is that true? I didn't know that.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, I did at F.C. Martin Junior High School down in Miami. She came to my pool party, and she was just beautiful, a wonderful girl. And also Chelsea Clinton ran. So congratulations to all of them. And another one, another story for you, an update on the situation on the set of the movie Rust. Man, this is just... What a mess. The production, as you know, was shut down a few weeks ago after Alec Baldwin accidentally shot and killed the film's cinematographer while rehearsing a scene. Now there's word of another calamity. Jason Miller, who worked on the crew, is reportedly in danger of losing his arm. He may have his arm amputated after he was bitten on set by a dangerous brown recluse spider. Recluse. He's reportedly undergone several operations after suffering from necrosis of the arm and sepsis. How lovely. And closer to home, New York City Mayor-elect Eric Adams hinting he may nix the city's mask mandate for school by the end of the year.
I think it's imperative, and we can find a safe way to do it. I look forward to getting rid of the mask, but it must be done with the science that we're not going back to turning our city and closing it down.
He was also on NPR over the weekend where he admitted when it comes to public safety, he is a conservative. He says he has zero tolerance for abusive, criminal, and violent behavior. Doesn't want to see thugs back on the street after being busted, Frank.
I'd love to know who does not have has more of a tolerance for violent criminals. I mean, you talk about going out on a limb, but certainly glad to hear that. Are you a lack wanderluster? So if you count yourself as one of...
I'm not.
Well,
if
you count yourself as one of the 55 million Americans who have never left their home state, and I have to tell you, I find that number enormously shocking. That answer could be yes. New survey's out. It asks some general questions about how Americans feel about traveling out of the country, in addition to 1 in 6 surveyed saying they'd never even cross their state border. 1 out of every 7 Americans say they've never left the country, and at least half of those surveyed admitted they don't even have a passport. One of the interesting things researchers found was that those of us who traveled when we were children were more likely to have wanderlust as an adult. Whatever the reason for not traveling internationally, nearly 90% of those surveyed say they do want their children to see more of the world. You traveled quite a bit as a child, I guess, because of your parents' profession?
My mom mainly, because my mom was a professional singer, so we were constantly going down to the islands, Curacao, Aruba, Puerto Rico, where she would be singing at the hotels there. So I did a lot of that, but I didn't travel out of the country at all. I mean, you know, out of over to Europe, over to other places, Asia, things like that. I didn't travel that far.
Well, if you are traveling to the world of Facebook, the metaverse in the making, if you spend more than a couple of minutes on Facebook every day, you may find yourself getting upset over things you see on the platform. Have you ever had a relationship or friendship end? Because of something someone posted. You're not alone.
Yes.
Researchers from Facebook itself found one in every eight of its users are addicted to the app. And many of those same folks have experienced harm to things like sleep, work, or personal relationships. That's roughly 360 million people around the globe being hurt mentally and emotionally each year by a tool that was supposed to connect and unite people. This information comes after someone, presumably inside the company, leaked these documents to the press. Among other revelations, Facebook has a team that specializes in the well-being of its users. That team came up with suggestions on how to reduce addiction, but in many cases, their advice was basically shut down. The team itself was shut down 2 years ago.
It's the WABC Early News Entertainment.
Love River TV Entertainment. As if we needed any more proof that social media is the devil, actress Sarah Jessica Parker is fuming after she and her fellow Sex and the City reboot castmates got trolled over their age. Oh, how nice. The 56-year-old star is on the cover of December's Vogue. And in that, she does an interview where she talks about the negative posts aimed at the cast's older appearances. She claims the misogynistic chatter would never happen to a cast predominantly made up of men. I actually am going to say that's not quite true, because there are several movies starring Al Pacino, De Niro, you know, heartthrobs that have stirred up the hater rat's nest, like The Irishman, for instance. I remember people were saying, oh, my God, they look so old. But anyway, I love this next comment that she made. She says she knows what she looks like. She has no choice. What is she supposed to do? Stop aging? Disappear? I love that. It always boggles my mind when people rip people for getting older. And just like that follows the ladies as they continue their friendships from their 30s into their 50s. That's the name of the reboot. And just like that, which I think is kind of a weird name for a reboot. But anyway, I look forward to it. WABC News Time 527. Let's head over to traffic on the 7s with Joe Nolan. Hey, Joe.
All right, Julia, as you travel inbound on the Long Island Expressway on the westbound side, there's some police activity right around the area of the Northern State at exit 42. Now, as a result of that, very heavy and slow on the westbound side now, back to pretty much exit 44. So as you travel westbound on the LIE, you're going to have those delays from the Seaford Oyster Bay into the Northern State. Now, coming up through Lower Brooklyn again, brake checks, nothing more than that. Coming up to the Brooklyn Bridge and the Long Island Expressway, once you get into the city, no big deal getting in through Queens Boulevard. Now, mass transit is pretty much on or close to schedule, except for the subways. They're having problems on the C, the D, the F, the N, and the Q, all with delays. And alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations again today are in effect. This report of service of Empire Blue Cross Blue Shield. Empire Blue Cross Blue Shield and Heart of America are helping schools all across the country increase their access to healthy food. Learn more, empireblue.com/NY Liberty. I'm Joe Nolan, traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you, Joseph. Yep. I don't see any rain on the horizon until Friday. Let's hope it stays that way. Not that I want rain on the weekend, but, you know, at least we'll have a nice week. Today, we're looking at plenty of sun, high of 64. Tomorrow, 66. Again, plenty of sun. Wednesday and Thursday, the clouds start to roll in a bit, but we will still see some sun popping in there, and we'll have the low to mid-60s. Friday is the day where I see rain coming in, but hopefully things will change. Currently, the temperature right now is 49 degrees, Frank.
Thank you, Juliet. Coming up in just a few minutes, I will tell you about the latest involving this horrible stampede situation in Texas. And we have a lot of other news from around the region and around the world that you're going to be hearing about all day. At 5:30, it is 48 degrees. We'll be right back.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you so much, Jacopo. WABC News Time is 5:30. Welcome back, everybody. Frank will be here in a second. Coming up, New Yorkers are ripping AOC and company, and the squad, I should say. We're going to tell you why. Also, witnesses are speaking out about the tragedy at Houston's Astroworld Music Festival. What a disaster, and it just is looking really ugly for rapper Travis Scott, I've got to say. Those stories coming up, plus Joe Nolan with Traffic on the 7s. But first...
It's the top five at 5:30.
Let's start with some positive news. The 2021 New York City Marathon is in the books. Beautiful fall day greeted 30,000 participants. It's a smaller turnout because of COVID restrictions. Winning the men's race is Albert Courier of Kenya. He did it 2 years ago after coming in second. And for the women, it was Perez Jepchirchir. I hope I pronounced that right. She's also from Kenya. She is the first woman to win a major marathon in the fall after winning an Olympic gold medal. So congratulations to both of them.
Witness accounts continue to pour in after the Houston Astro World Festival stampede that killed 8 people and injured dozens more. This concertgoer says the show continued to go on despite scores of people lying on the ground being trampled upon.
Just imagine all the people they're going to find tonight who nobody could see, who nobody could hear, who passed out, and everybody was just trampling on top of them the whole concert.
You should have heard this guy, some of the things that he was saying. Also, we're finding out more about the victims of this weekend's deadly concert. Among those killed, a 16-year-old high school junior and aspiring dancer, and a 14-year-old high school freshman who had gone to the show to celebrate his best friend's birthday. The best friend's mom bought the tickets, and she's just horrified. Meantime, a nurse who was at the concert says the situation was a disaster. People were being basically carried by the concert goers, you know, passing them as though they were passing them to the mosh pit, but passing them over to the medics. And some of these medics were unprepared and unqualified. They were given CPR unnecessarily. We're going to have more on the tragedy, including reaction from the man the victims all came to see, rapper Travis Scott, coming up a little bit later on.
The White House has until the end of the day to respond to a recent court decision that effectively blocked President Biden's controversial vaccine mandate. The rule requires businesses with 100 or more employees to make sure all workers are vaccinated by January 4th. 3 judges from the U.S. 5th District Court of Appeals blocked the mandate after 5 states issued a joint petition against the order and another 11 states filed lawsuits last week.
I'm quite confident that when this finally gets fully adjudicated, not just a temporary order,
right,
the validity of this requirement will be upheld.
That is the White House Chief of Staff, Ron Klain.
Thank you very much. And New Yorkers, Frank, are blasting their local reps, at least some of them, for voting against the $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill that was passed. U.S. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Jamal Bowman getting slammed on social media by New Yorkers because they refused to support the legislation that is going to bring more than $100 billion to New York for much-needed repairs to the state's crumbling infrastructure. The two joined other squad members in voting no. And here's AOC.
I just did not feel like I had the assurances in that moment to vote to increase U.S. climate emissions for an IOU. My main concern is that we just locked in the United States to increase its climate emissions.
And those are your top five at 5:30.
And interestingly enough, the people, the Republicans that voted for it, 13 of them in the House, they are getting a ton of pushback from conservatives. So it's interesting. The progressives that voted against it are getting pushback. And so are the conservatives that voted for it. So
I know they're all going to align and have a big party together because I know Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know, gave props to AOC. They're two of the biggest rivals. But they're like, yeah, we're both against this.
Well, and you know, the a lot of the conservative listenership of this station, they were not at all happy with New York Republican Congresswoman Nicole Malliotakis or New Jersey Republican Congressman Jeff Van Drew, even though New York stands to get, I think, around $100 billion, according to yesterday's New York Post, in the infrastructure package.
Oh, well, it's politics as usual, right? WABC News Time is 5:35. And let's get on to some other local news. New Jersey Rep. Josh Gottheimer says President Biden played a huge role in bridging the gap between lawmakers to get that infrastructure bill passed. He was on CNN State of the Union, and he is a New Jersey Democrat. He said the social spending package is a great thing for the American people, and there is going to be another celebration when the bill is passed.
Well, did you make it to your children's soccer game on time? How about church, brunch, daylight saving time, ended on Sunday at 2 a.m. across most of the United States. You've probably noticed that in addition to perhaps feeling a little more rested because we gained an hour by falling back, it's a little lighter outside in the morning, but a tad darker earlier too. We next spring forward on Sunday, March 13th of next year, and there are a number of states, 19 at last count, that would like to make daylight saving time permanent. And while states on their own can adopt standard time year-round, they would require special congressional approval to adopt daylight saving time year-round.
I got to just give you this one. We got a woke alert like no other. Yes, One of the world's largest investment firms is laying down the law when it comes to hiring. Bosses at State Street will now have to get special permission to hire white men. It's part of a new diversity effort aimed at tripling the number of Black, Asian, and other minority staffers. And they're really serious about this, Frank. Failure to meet the firm's diversity target by 2023 will result in a cut in yearly bonuses. And you know they don't like that. Oof. The company has offices in 30 cities worldwide.
Yeah, white people are the worst.
Thank you very much, sir. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, lots of sun today. High of 64. Tomorrow we're looking at 66 degrees and lots of sun. The clouds start to roll in by Wednesday and Thursday. Temperature cools off a little bit. We still may see some sun. Friday we may have some rain. I'll keep you updated on that. Currently the temperature in New York is 49 degrees.
Biz Buzz.
FedEx CEO Fred Smith says the newly passed bipartisan infrastructure bill is a great step forward in correcting the supply chain issues around the country. Speaking on CBS's Face the Nation, Smith said poor infrastructure is a major reason why there are so many issues right now, and he hasn't seen all the details in the bill, but believes it's the start to fixing the problem. Smith added his company is ready for the holidays, and the problems they had earlier in the pandemic have been fixed for this year. He said he's for the vaccine, but knows some of his employees are against getting vaccinated. AMC Entertainment believes one way to get out of the theater slump is to sell more popcorn outside of theaters. The nation's biggest movie theater operator is going to start selling its popcorn at malls, supermarkets, and convenience stores next year. It'll be available in both microwavable packages and fresh popped. AMC will also sell fresh popcorn for takeout, pickup, and delivery, and hopes to operate as many as 15 retail stores by the end of 2022. The Powerball jackpot is growing. After Saturday night's drawing resulted in no grand prize winner, the jackpot now stands at $151 million ahead of tonight's drawing. The cash option works out to just over $104 million, but the odds of winning all that money are steep, at about 1 in 292 million. Juliet?
Thank you very much, sir. It's time now for your Jet Set Juliet travel update. A new study of the best and worst airports in America shows you have to head to paradise to have the best shot of arriving on time. Daniel Niue International in Hawaii is tops when it comes to the fewest number of delays. Atlanta's Hartsfield did well, too. They came in number two. As far as airlines go, Allegiant was the worst, with around 3 in every 10 flights leaving late, followed by, I'm actually shocked by this, JetBlue. Really? And then Frontier, Envoy, and United. Well, the United doesn't really surprise me. But that is your Jet Set Juliet travel update. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Jet Set Juliet. And for more travel news, advice, and information, just go to WABCradio.com. And stay tuned for my Jet Set Juliet video podcast that's coming up soon. Frank.
Well, WABC news time is 5:40. It is currently 42 degrees, getting up to a much warmer temperature today. We'll bring you weather in a bit. But a new book by a somewhat intriguing source is raising new questions about the death of actress Natalie Wood. The Hollywood icon drowned back in 1981, 40 years ago, while vacationing off the coast of Catalina Island near Los Angeles. She was on a yacht with her husband, Robert Wagner, and her longtime friend, Christopher Walken. Now, in her memoir and true crime investigation, Little Sister, My Investigation into the Mysterious Death of Natalie Wood, Wood's sister Lana is blaming one person for Natalie's death. Her brother-in-law, Lana's brother-in-law, Natalie's husband, Robert Wagner. She said she doesn't believe it was premeditated, but certainly believes that he was responsible for Natalie Wood's death. also pretty explosive in the book. She's also claiming that Natalie Wood was actually sexually assaulted as a young woman by Hollywood icon Kirk Douglas.
Very interesting. Yeah, I've followed that story because I used to work with Katie Wagner many years ago, Robert Wagner's daughter from another marriage, and absolutely loved her. And I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. Robert seemed like a really, really nice guy. You never know. Let's, though, go back in time now.
And now, it's Huddy's History Hit.
Oh, very exciting. Archaeologists in Pompeii make another incredible find there. You know, if you remember a few months back, diggers uncovered a perfectly preserved chariot and also what equated to an ancient fast food restaurant. Well, now they say they found slave quarters, including IKEA-like beds that adjust to the size of the person sleeping in them. The discovery was made in one of the doomed city's suburbs, Civita Giuliana. The room is part of a luxury villa that overlooks the Mediterranean Sea. Experts say the three wooden beds indicate it was probably the quarters of parents and a child, since one of the beds was smaller than the other two. Officials also found chamber pots and a wooden steering element for a chariot. They say things like this help paint a clearer picture of what life was like more than 2,000 years ago in what is now southern Italy, before Mount Vesuvius erupted, killing at least 30,000 people. I love that kind of stuff.
That is pretty neat. That is.
Have you ever been to Pompeii?
Yes, I was there 2 years ago this week, actually. And I think it was really remarkable. And the fact that they're still exploring all this this new stuff is really, really wild. And to see the kind of theaters that people sat in and how similar life was in some respects and how different in others is really quite surreal.
I loved it. And you're lucky you went during November, because I went in July and it was brutal. Absolutely brutal, incredibly hot. And there's really no place to shade yourself. So that wasn't so much fun. So anyway, we're going to get to sports momentarily and lots of other things.
What am I hearing there?
I have to do the show from home today. I admit, because I don't have a car right now. And those are my dogs. That is Winnie and Wiggy.
What's Winnie so upset about?
Winnie, why are you so upset? She's upset because she would like me to come down and feed her.
I see. Yes. It has nothing to do with the infrastructure vote at all.
No, she's totally fine with that. She's happy about the bridges that potentially will carry her to places that she's never seen before. Sorry, guys. This is live radio.
5:45. Let's get a look at sports with Matt Sapienza on what was a big sports weekend.
All right, Frank, and good morning, everybody. Here's what's going on in the wide world of sports. After testing positive for COVID-19 on Wednesday, Giants safety Xavier McKinney spent most of the week not knowing whether he was going to play against the Las Vegas Raiders. McKinney is not vaccinated, and a positive test would have put him in the Aaron Rodgers category and sidelined him for a while. Thank goodness for false positives, I guess. McKinney returned an interception 41 yards for a touchdown early in the second half and picked off another errant throw by Derek Carr late as the G-men added to the Raiders' post-bye woes with a 23-16 victory over Las Vegas yesterday. NBA action now. Ricky Rubio scored a career-high 37 to help the Cleveland Cavaliers outlast the Knicks, 126-109. Cleveland has won four in a row to improve to 7-4. Evan Mobley added 26 points, Jarrett Allen had 18, and Darius Garland, 16. And across the pond in Brooklyn, Kevin Durant had 31 points. James Harden scored 16 of his 28 points in the fourth quarter. And the Nets won their fifth straight game, beating the Toronto Raptors 116-103. And that is WABC Sports at 15:45. I'm Matt Sapienza. You make it a great Monday.
Thank you, Matt. We'll get traffic and transit on the 7s with Joe Nolan in just a minute. But Sesame Street's Big Bird is joining millions of Americans in getting vaccinated against COVID. In a tweet from the character's Twitter page on Saturday, Big Bird said his wing was feeling a little sore after the jab, but he said the shot will give his body an extra protective boost to help him stay healthy and keep others healthy as well. Big Bird's big news appeared to ruffle some feathers, however. Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz was one of the voices who weighed in, calling the whole thing government propaganda.
They were looking at possible rain. All right, let's get to some other headlines. Police shot a suspect while searching for a potential gunman in an Upper Manhattan park. This happened last night. The shooting took place near the Little Red Lighthouse, which is inside Fort Washington Park, about 8:30 p.m. About 15 minutes earlier, a man had told police that he heard a gunshot while he was being followed by another man. Police searched the park. They found a 23-year-old man with a gun. Cops ordered him to drop the weapon. He refused and then pointed the weapon towards the officers. They ended up shooting him in the torso. He was taken to St. Luke's, where he is in stable condition. Multiple officers were also hospitalized for tinnitus, however you like to say it. And stars across the globe are posting condolences to the people who have been injured and killed during the Travis Scott rap concert at Houston's Astroworld Festival over the weekend. 80s icon Boy George writing, "This will change how we see concerts." Travis Scott's partner, Kylie Jenner, also posting on Instagram. She says she wants to be clear that, quote, "We weren't aware of any fatalities until the news came out after the show, and in no world would have continued filming or performing." The problem with that is that many witnesses say it was clear there were serious injuries given the number of ambulances and medical teams rushing to the scene, yet Scott continued to perform. So I'm sure that's going to be an issue. It already is an issue, actually. There's already lawsuits being filed against Travis Scott and also his co-headliner, Drake. And as we wait for details on what caused the Astroworld crush and why the show continued to go on, despite the obvious drama offstage, another sad story out of the music world. Frank, do you remember the band UB40?
I can't say that I do. I know I've heard
Red,
of them.
Red,
but
Wine.
Oh, sure. Red. Of course.
Yeah.
Yes, yes,
yeah.
Of course.
Well, one of their members, Astro, has died after a short illness. The musician, whose real name was Terrence Wilson, was an original member of the 80s pop reggae band, and he was just 64. Some scary moments for vacationers at a ritzy resort in Mexico. Four American tourists were injured during a shootout, yikes, between rival drug gangs late last week. Now, the news is just starting to come out now. It happened at the Hyatt Ziva Riviera Resort. It was just about 40 minutes from Cancun. Tourists were running for their lives, barricading themselves in their rooms until things had finally settled. One guest was hit by a stray bullet and was treated at a local hospital. Going to be okay. Three others received minor injuries. Officials say the gangbangers came in a group of about 12 to 15 on jet skis right up to the beach. They were apparently wanting to assassinate two drug dealers in some sort of turf war. And also an update on a missing persons case that has transfixed the world. You've probably seen, I don't know, documentaries, you know, datelines, all that stuff. The disappearance of little Madeline McCann. McCann, actually. It's been featured all over the place. I mean, around the world since she was taken from her bed at a resort in Portugal back in 2007. In recent years, investigators have honed in on one man, a convicted sex offender named Christian Bruckner. Now, the 44-year-old German national's ex-girlfriend is speaking out. She says Bruckner admitted that he had been near the resort when Maddie disappeared. She said that she was too scared to say anything up until now. Bruckner is currently in prison serving a 7-year sentence for raping an American tourist in Portugal in 2006. And a Bronx father is clinging to life after being found unconscious in a fire that killed his young son. This happened Friday night in the Mitchell houses on East 135th Street. The two were found unconscious in a hallway on the 19th floor. They were rushed to a local hospital. 6-year-old Aiden Hayward was pronounced dead of smoke inhalation. And this is just appalling. Police say while the building was being evacuated and they're trying to help people and save people's lives, burglars went around stealing thousands in valuables, including electronics and jewelry. Really quickly, another poll is showing President Biden's approval rating continues to sink. It's now at a new low. This is the USA Today Suffolk University poll. It's at 38%. Out of 1,000 people surveyed, half feel the president has done worse than they expected. This was taken actually last week before the House passed the infrastructure bill, in which he was obviously crucial and a major part of that. And those are your major headlines. We will continue on. Time to check up on what's coming up at the top of the hour.
Spectacular. 77 WABC Early News presents
It's Sid.
It is indeed. Good morning, Sid Rosenberg.
Well, good morning, Frank and Juliet. Good morning. Nice to be back. It's been a while.
It's great to see you. Congratulations on Danielle's strong finish in the marathon yesterday.
She did kick some. She did great. She did the marathon at just over 4:20. Beat people like Willie Geist and Tiki Barber, guys in the business. She's, you know, that's her fifth New York City marathon, her 31st marathon overall. Wow. So,
oh, my Lord.
There's very few people who run marathons get what's called the Abbott. And the Abbott is the six majors, which consist, of course, of Boston, New York, I believe Chicago, a few other places, a couple in Europe. She's Tokyo short. Now, they've canceled the last two Tokyo marathons due to COVID. But she is set to go to Tokyo next March, 2022.
Wow.
Once she completes that, she'll get the Abbott Award, which is a very, very big deal. Yeah. Yeah. She was great. She did great. And of course, that was just 3 days after the big bar mitzvah. We saw you that Thursday morning. Frank, very nice of you to show up and a very generous gift. Thank you.
I would have shown up if I had an invite. But, you know,
there were no invites. I was just here. The attorney, Artie Idala, was coming. And I know Frank and Artie are close. And I knew there was a chance he would see him. I know you're out in Long Island. I'm not going to ask you to come over there to New York City. That's crazy. So say, hey,
well,
I'm with Artie.
I was actually at work that day.
You were where?
I was in the office.
Oh, you were on Thursday?
Yes, I'm just kidding. Yep, no, I was, but I just want, you know, I'm just happy for you. That's awesome.
Nah, thank you.
How was
beautiful.
Gabe? Is he just
he's
thrilled?
He's great.
Has he grown a beard yet?
Yes, he's grown a beard. And it was a long day. It was very nice. We had the temple service on Thursday morning, then the celebration at a great downtown restaurant, Beauty in Essex, on Thursday night. So it was very long day. But it was beautiful, so it was a great week, great weekend.
What's coming up on the Bernie and Sid show today?
Well, Rich Lowry is here, as he is every Monday. We'll go over all the political stuff from the weekend. And Dr. Mark Siegel is going to stop by because, once again, vaccinations and kids and all that stuff, a major part of the news. So we'll do some of that. But, of course, with me being back today after Peter King and Ross Salzberg, we get a lot of bar mitzvah, a lot of marathon, a lot of football weekend, and all that other stuff.
Got a lot to catch up on.
Right.
Don't let Bernie beat too much on my friend Nicole Malliotakis for that infrastructure.
I know she voted for that infrastructure bill,
557.
All I have to say, based on our conversation on Friday, they're still at it. Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson from Saturday Night Live now showing PDA and being affectionate on their dates in New York City. They were spotted at Zero Bond, which apparently is an exclusive club, and the restaurant Campania in Staten Island.
Yeah, I know the owner of Campania, Joe LaRocca. It's one of my favorite places, too. So I commend Pete Davidson and his good taste in taking it to one of Staten Island's finest coal fire pizza joints. Now, one more thing. A dog continues to recover after her paw got stuck in a bathtub drain in Irvine for over 3 hours. Veterinarians say the Alaskan Eskimo Terrier's owners were giving her a bath Friday afternoon at a home. And she got her middle two toes stuck in the drain. Orange County Fire Authority crews later arrived and cut a 5-inch diameter hole into the wall of the master bedroom to access and cut the drain. The dog was soon removed from the tub and taken to a vet's mobile operating room where a piece of the drain was still stuck on the canine.